All right, our next speaker will be Anastasia Vaccaro from the University of Florida. And for those of you who are sitting in the back, again, you're welcome to come forward and a little bit closer to the speaker. All right, the time is yours.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you all for being here. My name is Anastasia Vaccaro, and it's my pleasure today to share with you some of my research on growth and yield effects to nitrogen ratio application in sesame in a rain-fed field setting. Now, admittedly, I know when I say sesame, most people picture the top of a hamburger bun. So just to elaborate on that mental image a little bit, sesame is a broadleaf annual crop in the Petalaceae family, growing anywhere from 5 to 6 feet in total height. And traditionally, we find this crop being grown outside of the United States in very hot climates that are low nutritive value soils and low water input systems. So it stands to reason that we would find sesame growth occurring in states in the United States that have similar climatic characteristics. So these are places like Arizona, Texas, and Florida. Now, you may be wondering what brought sesame to the United States to begin with. Inherently, sesame has a dehiscent quality, which means that as it matures, the capsule remains closed, or the capsule opens, and it makes it very difficult to harvest with machinery. So this has historically restricted sesame production to regions where there's plenty of manual labor available to carefully harvest the sesame with minimal seed loss. It wasn't until the discovery of a non-dehiscent quality in sesame where the capsule would actually remain much more closed with a tiny opening at the top that it could be mechanically harvested and its production brought to the United States. Once this quality was discovered in sesame, we saw breeding programs in Arizona, in Oklahoma, and in Florida. Now, some of the soil characteristics in Florida are that we have very sandy soils with low organic matter. And while this is conducive to sesame production, it makes us very susceptible to nitrate leaching. We have a very shallow aquifer and a karst topography that makes up an intricate spring system that's sensitive to nutrient imbalances. And this also makes us this also makes us susceptible to nitrate leaching, which can cause pollution. And one way to mitigate this is to, a common practice in Florida, is to split nitrogen applications. Now, currently, there are recommendations for nitrogen in Texas, but we have no recommendations in Florida. We are loosely recommending nitrogen ratios based on what is being recommended in Texas. So our proposed solution to this was to develop an experiment that would test the effects of the nitrogen split throughout the season. And one concern with growers in North Florida was that applying nitrogen in a split application as opposed to applying it all up front would be that vegetative growth would be encouraged and reproductive growth would be just discouraged, and that would limit their ultimate yield. So we aimed to develop an experiment to assess if the split would in fact limit yield, and we did this by assessing the physiological, the morphological, and the phenological responses throughout the growing season. In the growing seasons of 2015 and 2016, we developed a randomized complete block design with 4 replications and 5 plots per replication, corresponding to our 5 treatments of nitrogen ratio application. And this nitrogen application was based on 1 rate of nitrogen per hectare, being 67 kilograms per hectare, split up 5 different ways, with a portion applied at planting and the remainder of that applied at first bloom. So that made up our F1 through F5 treatments, with F1 being all of the nitrogen applied at planting, and the F5 treatment being no nitrogen applied at planting. And then we had variations within those two treatments, the F2, F3, and F4, with an even split, one-third applied at planting and two-thirds applied at first bloom, and two-thirds applied at planting and one-third applied at first bloom. So throughout the season, we took measurements to monitor the canopy development, called Leaf Area Index. And we took this using a LICOR 2200. And this is basically the ratio of the canopy coverage to the amount of ground coverage. We also took a measurement of fluorescence, which we'll get into in a minute, but this assessed the photosystem performance of the plant. We took parameters that would give us more of an indication of the yield of the crop, being the number of nodes that developed capsules, and ultimately a yield measurement that was made up of the seed weight. The leaf area index and the fluorescence were taken throughout the season, and so this was analyzed using a repeated measure mixed model, whereas the yield and the number of nodes of capsules were analyzed with an ANOVA, as these were point measurements taken at the end of the season. So the first parameter that we looked at was the canopy development in response to the nitrogen ratio. And we can see here that there was an N effect, a nitrogen ratio effect, on the leaf area index response, primarily driven by the two extremes of the applications, being the F1 application of all of the nitrogen put on up front, and the F5 application being no nitrogen applied up front. We didn't see too much of a separation between the treatments. Now, there was an overall year effect between the 2 years, 2015 and 16, and this more than likely can be attributed to the differences in the rain patterns. Remember, this was a rain-fed system, and the rain duration and the amount was not the same in both years. In 2016, there was an interaction of the nitrogen ratio and the date that was primarily driven, just like in 2015, by the F1 and the F5 treatments, and predominantly over the last sampling date. So we knew that the canopy responses were happening from the nitrogen ratio application, and we wanted to look at more of a micro-scale response. So how are the leaves and the photosystems in the leaves of these canopies responding to the nitrogen ratios? And we did that through a measurement called fluorescence. And fluorescence is the dissipation of photons from photosystem 2 called Well, is a dissipation of photons from the photosystem 2. And we can measure this fluorescence yield and its intensities at four different very small scale time increments, entitled O, J, I, and P, to get a curve very creatively entitled the OGIP curve. And this curve can be correlated to the absorbance of photons in the photosystem, the dissipation, the trapping of electrons, and the electron activity within the electron transport chain. These four measurements can be manipulated mathematically to give us performance indices, and these are an indication of the efficiency of the photosystem within the plants. So for this particular measurement, what we looked at was the performance indice total of the absorption of photons. So spatially, what that's talking about is the absorption of the photons here in photosystem 2 and the conservation of energy through the reaction center, through the electron transport chain, and up until the first electron acceptor in photosystem 1 here on the right. And what we found was that the treatment of one-third nitrogen application up front, being the 22 split with the 45, was significantly different. We found that that drove the significance of the nitrogen effect on the PIT abs. This was surprising to us because we would expect that the treatment that received no nitrogen up front would also have a low performance index, but this was not what we saw. This can probably be attributed to the long duration of stress in the treatment that received no nitrogen up front and its change in the photomechanisms. So in other words, perhaps they were expressing more proteins in the electron transport chain or antenna complexes to harvest the light energy. But this was interesting to us and warrants more investigation. So we saw a micro-scale effect on the canopy architecture and on the photosystem performance of the plant, and we wanted to see if this would be translated into some of our larger macro-scale yield parameters. And what we saw was that it really wasn't. The nitrogen ratio really did not have a significant effect on the number of nodes with capsules that developed. And so we wanted to take this even further and see if it translated into overall yield, and it was consistent with what we saw in the yield. There was no significant effect of the nitrogen ratio split on yield at the end of the season for 2015. We harvested 2016 and are processing the yield data for that year currently. So a summary of our results. The leaf area index was responsive to the nitrogen ratio applications as well as the photosystem. However, this didn't translate into our yield responses. In conclusion, the overall yield is not decreased by splitting up the nitrogen applications as long as there is some nitrogen applied up front. However, by splitting up the applications, it would decrease and minimize leaching to our spring systems below and our water bodies. And with that, I would like to thank you and thank my committee members, my advisor, NEPA and the USDA for funding this project, and I'll take any questions that you might have.
Yes, we have time for a few questions.
Yes. We didn't include the no nitrogen application. We thought that planting a crop with absolutely no application in our very sandy soils, we might not have a crop to test without any nitrogen. So we didn't do that. We did have one treatment that had no nitrogen up front, though. Anything else?
Okay, well, let's give her another hand.